The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Kate O'Connell, Fine Gael councillor, is smiling out from the cover of the Irish Independent today. And the caption underneath it reads, Kate reveals her agonising choice. And Kate O'Connell joins us in studio. Afternoon, Kate. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Pierce is now just five and he's starting school.
He is indeed, yes.
And you wrote today very movingly about your pregnancy with Pierce 5 and a bit years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you had a miscarriage.
Yes, before Pierce, yes. And then we went again and I discovered I was pregnant and I assumed everything was fine. And at the 20-week scan, which is offered by the Cooma, as far as I know, it's not offered by every hospital in the country. And sort of anomaly scan, detailed scan, and I went in thinking, sure, this will be grand. And it was said to me by the consultant, I was lucky enough there was a consultant scanning me, so it wasn't a case of, oh, we have to go get the doctor. It was a case of, here we have, and I was, here we have what? And we have a breach in the abdominal wall. And despite the fact that I work in the health service, I'd never heard of it. It was a surgical thing, so it's not something that you'd come across in the community, in the community setting. So both myself and my husband were there, and we got an awful land. And it was very obvious as well. Sometimes with scans, things are not very obvious to the naked eye, but it was very obvious that there was, the child was, I suppose, inside out to some extent.
Okay, so it Pierce's gut was outside the body?
Yeah, there was a portion of his gut outside. This was halfway through the pregnancy. So you couldn't tell whether it was freely moving, whether it was encased in a sac, and you couldn't say how this would progress over the next 20 weeks.
Okay, and what did they say to you then about the prognosis?
They didn't really get into that at the time.
No.
I mean, they just said, this is the way it is. Have you heard of it? And I said, no, I haven't. And
Gastroschisis.
Yeah. Well, at the time, it was an abdominal wall defect in that we hadn't, there was no definitive diagnosis at that point. So we left the Coombe and went for a walk, and we were seen then maybe half an hour later when we gathered ourselves together and we went back in. And I mean, I suppose looking back at it now, the compassion that I suppose the doctor had for the situation. I mean, I was obviously very upset, and my husband, I think, was very upset at the baby, the way things were, and also the way I was as well. So he had to deal with the two of us, the situation, his own emotions and mine. And we came in, and like, I'm a fairly practical person, so I suppose I was able to gather myself fairly quickly and sat down and chatted, and really to definitively say what was ahead of us. It was decided that we'd have an amniocentesis. Now, that's what didn't happen that day. I think it was 2 days later. I actually can't remember. I think it was 2 days later.
And the amniocentesis is to establish if there's a genetic problem.
Yeah, what you were dealing with.
Yes.
For our own sakes, but also from, I looked at it from a medical point of view too, so that when the child was delivered, that the medical people knew what they were going to be dealing with to some extent. So from our point of view, and also, I suppose, from their point of view.
Okay. And that's a sort of, there's a risk with an amniocentesis, isn't there?
There is a risk. And also, if there is something wrong, the risk is increased. So, you know, you could end up causing a spontaneous miscarriage there and then of a child that mightn't have the worst things wrong with it.
Okay. So yourself and Morgan, your husband, were having those chats.
Yeah, and these are times when you wish you weren't good at sums, do you know?
Yes.
You kind of go, oh, jeepers, you know, there's a serious risk here. And like that all went fine. So, you know, we ticked that box.
Okay, so after the results of that said that there was no genetic problem.
No genetic problem.
So it was a physical abnormality.
Physical abnormality and
fixable?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
The first thing was that with anything like that, especially gastroschisis, there's a huge risk of miscarrying. So at this stage, we're 20 weeks. So, you know, all evidence pointed towards the child was born before 30 weeks. that it didn't really matter. The child wouldn't survive.
Okay.
It wouldn't be like a standard situation now with modern technology. Children can live, if they're born 25, whatever, 24 weeks. So there was no hope really before 30 weeks. So it was getting to, that was, I suppose, the first milestone, getting to 30 weeks. And then we were heading towards, you know, it was very unusual in the sense that I carried the child to 38 weeks and was very healthy myself.
But all the time you knew that there was a problem.
Oh, yes.
But you weren't telling every Tom, Dick and Harry that.
Oh, goodness, no.
They were going, have you got the nursery done? What colour are you painting it? Do you know if it's a boy or a girl? All those questions that you're asked.
Yeah, and I did know it was a boy. And just, I suppose, interestingly, it's twice as likely to happen with a male as a female. I didn't buy anything. I mean, I had one baby grow that came from my sister-in-law in Holland, who just happens to be incredibly organised. So she had the present in the post before anything else. But that was, I remembered I just had one navy baby grow and I didn't buy anything else.
And what was the thinking there, that you'd hex it, that you'd sort of tempt fate or?
No, it was nothing to do with that.
No.
I wouldn't be at all superstitious. I think it was just, I'm sure I didn't want to have to throw stuff out if there was no baby at the end of the situation. I just didn't want any of that. And I knew no matter what way the cookie crumbled, that there wasn't going to be a baby born and brought home. That wasn't going to be on the cards. So there was going to be plenty of time.
Okay.
So
then it was a cesarean then. So
yeah, it doesn't have to be cesarean, but it I mean, they don't tell you everything. I mean, thankfully. But it was very obvious, I think, to the medical people that it was a very profound form of gastroschisis, that there was tons of, basically everything was outside.
Organs and all outside.
Everything from the diaphragm down.
Yeah. So I was reading a bit about it. So there's a hole just to one side of the belly button.
Yeah, and well, in his case, there was no belly button. It was just wide open.
A big hole there in the,
yes,
the stomach, and all the organs were out, flopping out.
Yeah, but on the scans, all you could see were his intestine.
Yeah, okay.
Like rope or, you know.
Yes, yeah.
And like that, they probably, when they're scanning you, I suppose, they don't show you everything. I mean, if I'd seen kidneys or something, I probably would have passed out. So, I mean, I was aware it was very serious, as are all those conditions, but, you know, I kind of felt, we'd go with it. And, you know, even like things like what the gut was going to be exposed to. The gut was there in direct contact with amniotic fluid, which isn't ideal, obviously. And I remember asking questions, which probably seemed so stupid at the time. Should I be eating different things in the sense that will it affect the amniotic fluid? And maybe these are things everyone asks. But I just, things like that, you know, try and do your best, I suppose, for the child.
Were you having sleepless nights? Was it constantly on your mind?
Yeah, constantly on my mind. Yeah. I shouldn't say constantly. I was delighted I had a job. I was delighted I had to get up in the morning. I had to run a business. I had to deal with my staff and all that comes with that. And, you know, pull myself together, do my hair, put my makeup on and, you know, get the show had to go on. But I say it there in the article, and it's funny, really. I used to pull in Rathfarnham, and we were living in Sandyford at the time. And I used to pull in into this housing estate. And the same one, I don't know how it even started. And I used to have a good old cry.
On the way home?
On the way home. And then I pulled myself together. And I was parked in the same place. And they probably thought I was waiting to meet somebody or I don't know what. So
having an affair.
Probably wondering today, going, oh, that's your one from 5 years ago who parked every evening. And I used to bawl my eyes out, sort myself out, possibly nip into San Marino's for a snack box and Bellali on the way home, and then present myself at home. Because to some extent, like, my husband was so worried himself. And it's not that, I mean, he just had enough to be dealing with. And he was very worried. And, you know, I suppose he may be a bit more practical than me. He was like, come on, you know, do our best here. And I wanted to straighten myself out before I got home.
So you didn't get to see Pierce when he was born. Morgan was there. And all you could do for any inclination of what was going on was to look for the expression on Morgan's face.
Yes, I mean, you're lying down. And I remember the anaesthetist, which I suppose, just when you know so many people, I knew him, poor man, and my husband had two heads. And I just remember looking up and seeing their faces and thinking, oh, my God, if they're looking like this. And I'd say Morgan had practiced his emotionless face and there was no hiding it. So the doctors do what they have to do. There was a screen up. I assumed that they just wrapped the child up somewhere. And I got to see him, just his head, and he was swaddled. Pierce was swaddled. But like that, it's the child didn't have to be intubated, which we'd fully expected that to be the case. So it was a bit strange because he looked perfectly normal. Apart from the fact that he probably was a bit chubbier around the waist because there was all this gut. So off he went to Crumlin, and I stayed in the Coombe, which is just the way it is for surgical things that need immediate surgical intervention.
Which isn't the ideal situation.
No, it's not. But I mean, this is the way it's done, and it's not ideal. But it was very well managed, and you know, all credit has to go to the health people, the nursing staff and the surgical staff. I mean, for them it must be awful too to deliver somebody of this sort of a child.
So lots of surgery, and they literally had to ram his innards back into his body.
Yes.
Into his torso.
Yes.
It's a very physical, sounds like a very physical
thing. It is very physical. Yeah. I wasn't there for that, thankfully, but my husband did witness a portion of it. But like, we had 20 weeks to prepare for this. So, you know, I said it earlier to one of your researchers. I mean, I was sort of over myself at this stage. I'd done my crying. I had done all that. I was there ready to go. We'll do our best for the child. I was told that luckily I'd met a paediatrician, and they said, really, you're looking at, you have to breastfeed this child. It's not a case of it's just the right thing to do. Mm. Breast milk for this sort of a gut situation. So I busied myself with that sort of department over in the Coombe. And Morgan, my husband, went over and back. So he'd come see me, and then he'd go see Pierce, and he attended all the ward rounds. And, you know, it was, for us, we were very lucky that we had, I suppose, knowledge of some of the processes.
And, like, because your article is not just about your story, it's about you're sort of thinking about people who may not be as privileged as yourself and how they must go through a similar situation.
Absolutely. And I mean, it all comes down to, I mean, if Pierce had a severe genetic defect, he would have had no chance of survival outside the womb. Simple fact.
Well, we'll just hold it there, because I have to take a break for the note, that seems to be the place to take it there. And we'll come back and talk to Kate O'Connell more after that. So we're going to the studios of Radio na Gaeltacht in Cosla for Nocht. Gurmagul Patter, 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rt.ie. So we're speaking to Councillor Kate O'Connell, who's writing in the Irish Independent today. She's pictured there on the cover on her own, and in page 21 there with lovely Pierce, who's starting school in September.
Yes.
His birthday's on the 2nd.
It is.
Mine's on the 1st.
There you go.
It's not a good time to have a birthday, just to warn you.
It's good for rugby, though.
Oh yeah, it's good for all those underage. But you see, you're coming back right after summer holidays, and then they're going, oh, we didn't have a chance to give anybody the bumps during the summer, and then they suddenly cop, oh, it's Pierce's birthday, we can give him the bumps. So there you go, you'll have to watch him for that. So what you're about to say, and you say it in the article, if it had been the case that the fetus had serious genetic as well as physical defects, meaning it had zero chance of survival ex utero, I would have chosen a different path.
Well, I definitely think I would have. I mean, until you're actually there in the situation, God knows what you do. But at that point, I had it researched in the few days I had, that there was absolutely no way I would carry the child for a further 20 weeks.
So if your consultant has said, you know, not compatible with life or fetal abnormality, you would have been on the plane
gone.
And over to Liverpool.
Gone, yeah.
Right, okay.
And I suppose it's worth noting, I had the capacity to book it, and I had the money to pay for it.
Yes.
Which not everyone would have.
And through all of this, you've a number of doctors in your extended family.
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, and it with friends and that. So there was no shortage of information, of solid scientific fact. It wasn't hocus pocus. There was no hysteria. It was, this is the way it is. And even like my brother-in-law in London had sent extensive research documents that, you know, it took me a few days now to be able to look at the pictures. It took me, I didn't actually Google gastroschisis myself because I was afraid of what I'd see. It took me a while to get to that stage. But based on huge amounts of information, that was the decision I had come to.
And when, this is a tough question to ask, when gastroschisis was mentioned, was a termination ever mentioned at that stage? No.
By whom?
By your consultant or anything like that.
Oh, God,
No, because they knew what the prognosis was.
Well, they knew that, I mean, they give you the information and, I mean, they knew our jobs and, I mean, we were asking the questions.
Yeah.
You know, is this fatal? Is this, you know,
yes.
Yes. Those questions. We were lucky enough to be able to, emotionally as well as everything else.
Yeah. So, you want choice. You say, we want a choice. Choose life, choose choice. So, as we stand in this country, victims of rape, incest, or women, couples who go into their consultant and are told that their child's life is incompatible with life or they have a fatal fetal abnormality, they cannot seek a termination in this country. They have to travel abroad.
Mm.
You would like it to be different.
Absolutely. And the way I see it is that we're all equals in this country, and we're, once you're able, have the mental capacity to make those decisions, I think it's, people are travelling anyway, and it's barbaric that we would send people on aeroplanes to another country, be it England or elsewhere, with perhaps one member of their family in a totally alien environment, to have a fairly hefty procedure, and hefty physically and emotionally, and to essentially load up our women and export them like cattle on the hoof. I mean, it's barbaric.
Mm.
And until you're faced with the prospect of that, I think it's very easy to distance yourself as a human being from the emotional impact of that until you're in that situation. I never really had thoughts on it either way. I suppose I thought it was as simple as using adequate contraception, if you know what I mean. I never full stop considered as a married woman of 30 that I would be in the market for an abortion. I genuinely thought it was for other people.
Mm.
Simple as.
Yeah, of course, some women who are given that diagnosis, they decide to go full term.
And that's their choice.
And there is support, yes.
And that is their choice. It's all about choice. Some people see that process as a grieving process. Some people, it is your choice.
Yeah.
And because it's not allowed in Ireland, what comes with it is lack of information. So the people cannot make informed choices. So I think it's time to open up the whole conversation here.
Well, it's been open and closed and open and closed and open and closed.
Proper opening.
Yeah.
Properly open.
But there was an opportunity there. You know, Jerry Buttermer had his, you know, Oireachtas Health Committee, and he invited loads of people in. He didn't invite women who had gone through the whole having to travel for a medical termination to live, but they weren't invited in. And women who have travelled for abortion for whatever reason, they weren't. So they were two significant voices that didn't get a hearing at that.
But see, it's not just a woman's issue. It's a father issue, and it's a husband issue, or it's a partner issue as well, and it's a brother issue. So, I mean, I firmly believe there has to be a referendum on it.
Okay.
And
what would you like to the referendum to achieve?
I would like to see safe, free terminations available in Ireland for all women, and strict term limits. Anything 8 to 12 weeks, whatever the medical experts deem to be the most appropriate. And in the case of fatal fetal abnormalities, where medical people with sound medical information say there is no chance of survival outside of the womb, that the limits are increased to perhaps 23 weeks.
You're in favour of abortion on demand?
Well, on demand, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not many politicians have, if any, have ever said that, have they?
Well, I'm not any politician. I mean, and I'm not being smart about it.
I'm speaking from
who am I to judge? Who am I to judge the girl who gets raped on her way home from work? Or who am I? who am I to judge the girl who's in, or the woman that's in a violent relationship, or the woman that's raped, the girl that's raped by her father? Who am I to judge that situation? You could go on forever about the different permutations of examples of what sort of scenarios arise and how someone might and who decides what. All sorts of things. I mean, who was to say we'd ever have a situation where somebody would arrive to our country from another country pregnant in it from incest, and then they couldn't go to England because of refugee status? I mean, who could make up that story? So you can't legislate for every particular scenario. So once you have term limits, access to information, I think you have to be cut and dry on this. And, you know, there's no point beating around the bush on it.
So you are a candidate for Fine Gael in the next general election.
I was this morning anyway.
Would you have had to discuss what you were going to say with somebody above you?
No, I didn't discuss it with anybody. Anyone that ever asked me my views on it, which not many people have, I've been very clear on it.
Were you happy enough with the way, you know, the recently introduced legislation, how the lead up to that was handled?
Not really. No. I felt it was a bit of a fudge, to be honest. But I wasn't. I'm not there. You know, I don't.
But you're a member of.
I'm a member, so yes. It means no more than anyone. I mean, I have. You know, I go to the meetings, and at that stage, I wasn't a councillor either. Not that that would have made any odds, but. It's one of the reasons, I suppose. I was very much provoked by that whole setup at the time, and that whole conversation at the time.
What provoked you in particular?
Just some of the scaremongering and hysteria. And I also don't like to see people sitting on the fence. Certain things, it's black and white. And, you know, I feel that through my experiences, that I can come out very clearly with the way I feel about things, and I can back it up with my own experience.
Okay.
Experience I wish I didn't have. Mm. I'd prefer if I didn't have that experience, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
Do you think you're going to get a lot of, you know, negative reaction to this? Because, you know, we live in a world now with Twitter and chat rooms, and when this appears online on The Journal or The Irish Independent or whatever, then they have the comments after it.
Well, you see, Ray, when you see your child's guts outside their body, the bar is set very high. So I suppose I'm tough. And, you know, I don't bother. I don't look at crackers people on Twitter having a go. Like, it's just a forum. And that's just the way media's gone now. And, you know, I don't believe in policing it or censoring it. Just let it off. And I don't get bothered. I really don't. I mean, in ways, it's great to be able to say, you know, I've seen my... You can just sit back and go, I've seen my child's guts outside the body. You know, this is minor, this abuse in comparison. And I know that might... But, you know, it depends where your bar is set, to be honest.
So like Lorraine Higgins recently, you know, she's looking for the introduction of legislation to police... online interaction. So you wouldn't be in favour of that?
No, no. God no, God no. Down with that internet thing, you know.
So why now though? You know, people might be cynical about your motivation, do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm only a councillor since last May, 12 months.
I know, but you're going to be a candidate in the general election.
Well, it's going to come up. It came up in Dublin City Council at the last meeting, one of the other parties put forward a motion about the Eighth Amendment. And I had the opportunity to speak for 1 minute, for 60 seconds on it. I can't remember how long I spoke for, maybe a little bit more. The Lord Mayor afforded me the opportunity to speak maybe a slight bit more than that. So I didn't bring up the motion. So it wasn't me that, I suppose, orchestrated that. Somebody else did, nothing to do with me. So the reaction I got from my 1 minute, I thought, all right, okay, that wasn't so bad. And I do think it's going to be, whether political parties like it or not, I do think it's going to be an issue for the next election. So, well, sure, look, you know, you may as well go for it then. Yeah. And I think I've been very clear. There's no point. There's no point in me fudging the issue.
So when you go and you're knocking on the doors and you're going, how are you, Kate O'Connell, Fine Gael, I'd like to, you know, you to vote for me in the general election. And they'll say to you, oh, you're the woman I saw on the cover of the Independent, heard on the radio. So can you explain to us again what your position on abortion is? They'll say to you, what do you hope will happen if you're elected? And if Fine Gael are elected, what do you hope will happen?
I hope there's a referendum pushed to the people and that the people decide. I mean, when you're elected...
But will that legislation introduce abortion on demand as it's...
With strict term limits is what I would like to say, and okay. In cases of fatal fetal abnormality.
So you would be going... A lot of people, you know, Claire Daly, etc., are looking for a situation where you would allow to have a termination in the case of fatal fetal abnormality, rape and incest, and where there's a fear of the mother taking her life through suicide. So you would go beyond that?
I think so, yes. Okay. Yes. Well, I mean, you know, what you can't legislate for every eventuality because it's complicated. So,
Could you ask that Fine Gael woman what she thinks of her party not backing Claire Daly's bill on abortion recently? Yeah, what a wise and wonderful lady, says George. Great to hear this woman speak, says Maria. My heart goes out to that lady. My daughter lost a baby boy last year. He was an Edwards syndrome baby. The Coombe doctors and nurses were fantastic, and she's doing well now. And all equal, not the baby, obviously. The baby gets no choice. The diagnosis may have been inaccurate, says Brendan. And a 70-year-old woman flat loan phone saying how much she was enjoying listening to Kate O'Connell and her honesty. Women shouldn't have to travel if their outcomes are not so good. And while I agree with all that is being said, so long as church and state are conjoined, it won't happen, says JD in Athlone. And our first baby was born with Pathos syndrome. Nothing showed up on any of the scans, so it took us totally by surprise. He sadly only lived for a month, and we often wondered, was it better for us that we didn't know before the birth? Thankfully, it wasn't a genetic condition, so we could take positives from the sad experience and try again. We think about him all the time still. After a number of miscarriages, we have two great children today. Whoever said that making babies was easy? It is a long, hard road for many, many couples, says Frank and Kerry. And that lady that's on about abortion, I think she speaks a lot of sense. But one point, she said that the government can't legislate for every scenario. All they need to do is make it available and let people have a choice. Who am I or you or anyone else to say what's best for anyone else? Cheers, says John in Roscommon. I think he doesn't know it, but he's agreeing with you.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
Maybe I've been unfair to John. Fair due to that lady. She's completely correct. Ireland needs abortion on demand. We need more people in politics like her. Thanks, Anna in Kilkenny. So there.
That's so refreshing, isn't it?
I think you're the first politician that I've heard who is looking for abortion on demand in this country.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there are others who are just afraid to say it.
Yes, yes.
And they're waiting for someone else to say it. And I'm sure perhaps tomorrow or, you know, whenever, someone else
we'll
is going to come in and
we'll
see what happens. Yeah. But sure, that's the way that it goes.
And happy days. You're pregnant with your third child.
I am indeed, yes.
And
yes.
You're due in...
About 8 weeks, 10 weeks.
Okay, so that means you're gone past the 20-week mark. And
very much past it, yeah. I was waiting for that one. But these days you can actually have a genetic test done at... I can't remember now, 9 to 13 weeks Harmony.
They take it from the back of the neck?
No, there's maternal blood.
Okay.
You can have it done in the Beacon, which again, I'm lucky enough to be able
privilege,
to do it.
Yeah.
And I did it. I still worried actually for the 20-week scan because it wouldn't have actually showed, gastroschisis wouldn't have shown up. And they don't say, oh yeah, everything's perfect. They give you stats. And, you know, sure, stats are stats, can happen. But anyway, all's looking fine, I hope. And sure, look, we'll deal with it on the day.
Okay, well, good luck with the pregnancy.
Thank you very much.
And good luck with Pierce's first day in school. I know he got his uniform today, did he?
He got his uniform today and he is delighted that he's in the paper. he's thrilled with himself. So he thinks he's famous, which is great. He'll have to come down to the real world now and start in baby infants like anyone else.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks
thank
very
you,
much.
Thank you. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.